read chapter 1, and we read on to chapter 2, verse 10. So we begin at chapter 1, on through chapter 2, verse 10. This is God's word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and him and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Thus far God's precious word to us tonight. Dear congregation, what a blessing. What a blessing it is that the Lord Jesus gives us a prayer that covers all our needs. All of them. And he knows them. He knows those needs. Yours and mine. And what a blessing it is that the Lord Jesus shows with his prayer that we may come to the Lord for our greatest spiritual need. Forgiveness. What a blessing that he puts these words in our mouths. And may he put them in our hearts afresh tonight. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Are you not thankful for this petition? Don't you want to use it more often? Pray it more often? Now, as we think about this gift of this petition together, this tremendous gift, especially of forgiveness. Have you ever wondered why the Lord Jesus connects our forgiveness with the way we forgive others? Why does the Lord Jesus do that? Why does he want us to live in a relationship with other people that are good and loving? That's what we want to explore together with the Lord's help, among other things, from the Epistle of John, 1 John, because he makes exactly the same argument, especially the verses that we have read together. Like the Lord Jesus, John clearly ties these two things together. The forgiveness that we experience of God and the forgiveness, therefore, that we grant to other people. And that's the fifth petition all about, is it not? And we are going to, with the Lord's help, among other things, ask that question, why? And our text tonight is Matthew 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we do that also with the text from 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we also turn to Lord's Day 51 together from the Heidelberg Catechism, and where we read question 126. Which is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor the depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbors. Our theme is simply forgive our debts. And first we consider our debts and our debtors, that will be more briefly, and then we consider our Savior and his forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those are the precious words that the Lord Jesus puts into our mouths, into our minds, to be repeated, to be prayed, and to be treasured. Clearly, the Lord Jesus believes that we have debts, no doubt about it. Debts, sins. Sins that we have committed in our bodies, with our minds, and with our eyes, and with our words, and with everything in us, with our hearts. We have committed sins, all of us. And the Lord Jesus teaches with this petition that there is a way to deal with such sins, with such debts, through the gospel. And clearly the Lord Jesus believes that when we experience forgiveness, that it means that our hearts and our minds and lives are so changed that it influences our relationships, and that we are willing to forgive those who need forgiveness as well. Now, during the time that 1 John was written, this epistle, there were people that were turning away from sound doctrine in different ways. There were teachers that taught that Jesus Christ was only appearing to be a human being. And in the second part of his epistle, John comes back to that and he refutes that. He shows that it's not correct. But the first part, the part that we have read together, John confronts people who didn't believe the simple truth of the gospel, that through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience the blessing of forgiveness. No, these people were different, thinking differently. They thought about some kind of higher knowledge that you need to have, apart from the Word of God, apart from the simple work of God's Spirit that gives us faith and repentance when he regenerates us. No, they were listening to teachers who said, it doesn't really matter what you do in the body because only the Spirit is important. So if you're sinning in the body, it doesn't all matter that much. If you're forgiven, then you're forgiven. And so John shows clearly that that's error, and we all understand that that is error. And he does so in a very gentle but firm manner, and he often is one who draws very strong, sharp contrasts. He does that to expose those false teachers, but on the other hand, to also comfort those who struggle and comfort also believers and build them up. And what he shows, and the verses that we read shows very clearly, that it matters very much what we do in the body. The sins and how we treat one another. And it matters how we deal with sin. And so, as we focus for a moment on 1 John 5, 1 verse 5 till 2 verse 2, the apostle speaks there about three wrong ways, first of all. Three wrong ways in which people are kept in the dark of their sins rather than come to the light of the gospel. And if you look at verse 6, you see the first one. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's the first way. So John is speaking here about people who says, I know the Lord Jesus. I have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. I am saved. And John says, when you look at their lives, they walk actually in the darkness of their sins. They are not really transformed. They are still enjoying their sins just as much as before they were saved. And they are not really changed. Now, before someone here who is very struggling with sin makes a wrong application here, I want to say something. John is not talking about believers who struggle, or maybe you can't even call yourself a believer, but you feel yourself in the darkness, maybe spiritual depression or depression itself, or struggles with assurance, or believers fighting hard against sin. Or maybe you can't even call yourself a believer, you don't know. But he's not talking about those kind of people. He's not. He's talking here, people walking in darkness, who claim they know Jesus, but their lives are still in sin. Their lifestyles are still in sin. They don't fight against sin. There's no hatred for sin. Such people are not honest about living holy lives. And verse 7 then, John shows very clearly that if you walk in darkness, verse 6 he shows that when you walk in darkness, he says, you lie and do not do the truth. On the one hand. But on the other hand, if we walk in the light, John says, as he is in the light, as the Lord is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. So do you see? John links many, many themes here. There's darkness. There's light. There's those who enjoy the darkness, and there's those who come to walk in the light. And those who walk in the light, what does he say about those? Those have fellowship with one another, so there's relationship. There's a relationship with other people and a relationship with God. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins, he says. So he's not speaking about strugglers. But he is speaking about those who continue in sin and who lie to themselves in an ongoing lifestyle of sin, which disrupts our relationship with God and with other people. And so that's what he's confronting here. Now, second, there's a second group of people that John encountered. Another way of dealing with sin, of walking in darkness. It says here in verse 8, if we say, there you have it again, he has listened to people and he says, well, if we say this, and he has heard people say that, and if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So here are those people that claimed to be without sin. Only the body matters, remember? I have no sin. Somehow they felt they were enlightened in some way. And they had come to a spiritual maturity that they had conquered all sin. Well, you have no sin. That's what they say. But do you hear what John says about these people as well? They have deceived themselves. The truth is not in them. Such people are lying to themselves. He shows that in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So in other words, in this life, none of us can reach that point of sinless perfection. That's also why we read the Heidelberg Catechism, didn't we? When we pray, forgive us our debts and our sins, what do we ask really? Heidelberg Catechism says this, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. The Lord doesn't save people and suddenly gives them grace to conquer all sin. Yes, He delivers us initially from the guilt of sin. He breaks the power of sin initially, and then in an ongoing way, He helps us to fight the battle against sin. And when there are people who say, well, I have no sin, it's actually veiled pride. It makes people feel better than the rest. And it can be this idea of, well, you know, I have reached this point of spirituality. Didn't you yet? Such pride breaks fellowship because what do we think? Or we might look at those people and say, well, these are so spiritual. Or we will say, well, I can never be that. Now, John encountered also a third group of people in verse 10. And again, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, that is past tense, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. In other words, these people who cover up their sins altogether. They are in denial. I have never sinned. I am a good person. I have always lived decently. What does John say about such people? They make God a liar. Why? Because God tells us that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. But this person says, I have not sinned. All have sinned except for me. That's knowing better than the Lord. And beloved, it's so different when we come into the light. These people, John says, walk in darkness. They don't know the truth. But when we come in the light and walk in the light, we will no longer like the dark. We no longer want to cover up, deny, or want somehow to save our face for others. We know we are sinners. Do you know that tonight? We have truly seen the light. God has put our sins and even the secret sins right before His face. And we have sensed that we have been in the presence of the Lord and He saw our sins. And it has humbled us. So that's why John says in verse 5, he tells us, this is the message which we have heard of Him, the Lord Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Our sins have been put into the light. We walk into the light. And we realize that God is all-seeing, all-knowing. He never ever forgets any of our sins. He perfectly hates all our sins with a perfect hatred. And we come to the realization in our hearts that the wrath of God rests upon us if we are not forgiven and we are not in Jesus Christ. The wrath of God over all unrighteousness and all sin. And we realize that God must punish sins. We realize that saying we trust in Jesus Christ without a lifestyle that contradicts it dishonors God. We realize that. And that's often the very struggle in the heart of a believer's struggle, is it not? I look at my life and, oh Lord, this sin and that sin. I'm not changed here and I'm not changed there yet. And we know that God is holy. We know the light of his presence. We realize that thinking somehow that we are saved and therefore no longer have any sins is not true either. We know how that insults God. And if we know better than God, that we don't want either. We've come before the Lord and we've stopped talking back. We've given up. Our mouths are stopped and we've been made guilty before the Lord. And when the Lord has worked in our hearts, we know those sins. And we know that He is a light. We've experienced it. And we have learned to agree with God. Have you learned to agree with God about your sins? No longer I want to defend myself in some way. No, not trying to be good in God's sight in some way. No, but come to the Lord with confession and honesty. Honesty. The Lord is a light. He exposes my darkness. When we come there, we stand exposed. And yet it humbles us deeply, but it also brings us in the Lord's time into that light of fellowship, relationship, restored fellowship with the Lord, and as a result, restored fellowship with one another. 1 John 3 verse 14 puts it like this: we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So because God has worked in our hearts, we love the brethren. And we do so sincerely. Heidelberg Catechism tells us like this, says it like this: even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbors. We want to forgive those who've sinned against us. We want to walk in the light, not only in the light of God's presence, but also in the light with other people. Fellowship with God, fellowship with our neighbor. We no longer like the darkness. Now, before we go to how do we experience that forgiveness, and we want to zoom in that and on that, and we want to focus there tonight. But before we go to that second thought, let's ask ourselves a few questions. Do you and I have this desire to walk in the light of the Lord? That means openness with the Lord. Not covering up, but openness all the way about everything. Everything. No longer denying, no longer covering up, but confessing honestly. And have you learned to bring everything to the Lord? And you know the Lord is holy, the Lord is a light, but you bring it nevertheless. And do you have this desire to come closer to the Lord and to have this fellowship with the Lord? And also, you want to have peace. You want to have restored relationships with other people. If that's the case tonight, that's the work of the Lord in you. We know that we have passed from death unto life when we love the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life when we want fellowship with God and with one another. All those things are signs that God, who is a light, has brought us to walk in the light, made us honest, humble. But if you say tonight here, maybe there is somebody who says, well, I don't know that. Then here is the prayer for you to pray. Very simple. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Lord, teach me. Teach me what that means in my heart, in my soul, so that I will know what it means to know Thee and to love others. Because that's what it's all about. To know God and to love others. And children of God, what a blessing. What a blessing that the Lord Jesus knows our need and knows our desires. And in this prayer, we see those desires, don't we? Forgive us our debts with the Lord as we forgive our debtors. Lord, we want to have relationships that honor Thee. John responds to those three ways of wrong ways of dealing with sin. Verse 7, that first way, when we say we have fellowship and meantime we are not changed, what is the truth that sets us free? What is it? The truth that changes us. Well, we read verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So when you and I learn to draw near to the light of God, the light of His Word, the light of His truth, the light of His gospel, the light of His holiness, the light of His forgiveness, only then we will have true fellowship with God and true fellowship with one another. And then it says something so precious. Because then we truly trust in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We trust that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And do you hear that? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth. That is present tense. It cleanses us. It doesn't say it will cleanse us one day when we die. No, it says cleanses us right now. And for everyone who comes to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us in an ongoing way. More and more. He delivers us from guilt of our sins, first time and ongoing. He delivers us from not only from the guilt, but slowly but surely He delivers us more and more from the power of sin. Did you hear that? He cleanses us, struggling sinner. Listen, cleanses us from all sin. That's all sorts of sins. Idolatry, lying, coveting, false worship, sexual immorality, sexual sin, rebellion, Sabbath breaking, gossiping, pride, selfishness, self-pity, lovelessness, sins committed against God, sins committed against other people, sins committed against us, ourselves, sins of neglect, sins committed in an ignorance, sins committed in rebellion, sins. He cleanses us from all sin. Yes, even He cleanses us from the fountainhead of all sin, original sin, all the way when we were born. Listen to the word. Cleanses us from all sins. What kind of sins are bothering you tonight? Come into the light. Pray, forgive us our debts, O Lord. And know through this word that it cleanses you right now and can cleanse you ongoing. Children, young people, do you hear that there is forgiveness with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ? Perhaps someone says, well, Pastor, I know all that's true. But Pastor, I have so many sins. I've sinned too much, too long, too hard. My heart is too hard. It's impossible for me to be forgiven. I've sinned against God for years. I've sins of my youth. I've sins of middle age. Maybe some of us, sins of old age. Sins that have been hidden for years and that still plague me. I cannot be forgiven. I've sinned too much. Who tells you that your sins cannot be forgiven? Who tells you that you have sinned too much? Who tells you that your heart is too hard? Is that the Lord? Or is that your own unbelief? Or is that the accusation of Satan? What does the Lord say in a situation about your situation through the Apostle John tonight? This is what God says to sinners of all stripes and colors tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You don't need to first figure out whether you are elect. You don't need to get yourself cleaned up. It doesn't tell you that you must never sin anymore after you've come. Our text tells us that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. That's why you must pray tonight and can pray tonight. Forgive us our debts. Take God at His word tonight. Throw yourself upon His mercy. Put the finger, as it were, under this text. Lord, here it says it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, I have this sin and that sin and that sin and that sin and that sin. I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Heidelberg Catechism explains us, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, count against us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Now, if that doesn't convince you yet that there is forgiveness with the Lord, let's listen to verse 8. The response of John to verse 8 was, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So some claim sinless perfection, and John says, no, no. He says, come, poor trembling sinner, I will take you by the hand. Come with me. I will lead you into the light tonight. This is the way into the light. Do you want to enjoy fellowship with God? Do you want to enjoy fellowship with other people? Do you want to be done with all those fears, all those doubts and all those anxieties being found out as if you feel you are fake? Come, this is the way into the light. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you hear that word again? All unrighteousness. Don't just admit I'm a sinner. No, no. Come with honesty before the Lord in His presence. Know that you cannot bring a single thing except for the sins that you have. That all your actions are against Him. That they are crimes against the Holy One, the good-doing God who has held your life in His hands to this very day, whose laws you have violated. And confess. That means be honest about your sin. Confess all your sins to Him. Lay them all before Him. And John tells us, all who come with true confession tonight can count on two things. Two things. God's faithfulness and God's justice to forgive us all our sins. We need to not look inside, but look from the inside, knowing our sins. We look out of ourselves. And not to our feelings, but to what who God is, His character, what He says He is. He tells us He's faithful. It means that He says to us tonight, you can trust my word for it. It means you can trust my promises. You will find them true for yourself. He's faithful when He says to us and invites us, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's faithful. He keeps His word. Come, reason with me. Confess your sins. You will find my promises to be true. He is faithful when He promises in Jeremiah, for instance, that through the new covenant and the testament He made in the blood of Jesus Christ, that he says there, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. He is faithful. He keeps His promise. You may trust His promise tonight. He's just. What does that mean? When you and I come with honest confession and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, He took all the justice, the punishment. He died to endure the wrath of God on Golgotha. And God is just. He will not punish the same sins twice. When we look by God's saving grace to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, He will not account your sins against Him because, as we heard this morning, He laid the iniquity of us all upon Him. He's just. He's just. He punishes sins only once. If you look as a poor sinner to Jesus Christ, away from yourself, you look to that cross and you hear those words, it is finished. And you hear those words which basically mean, I paid for it. I paid for it. God is not going to take anyone to pay for it again who look to Him in such a way, believingly. He's just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. He's just. Once satisfied, always satisfied. Once and for all, satisfied at the cross. And then there is one more view on sin, which John shows the contrast in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, but then John comes in those words in chapter 2, the beginning words. These are such tender words. They are such beautiful words. Comforting words, maybe the most comforting verses in all of Scripture. He says there, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Do you hear the tenderness in these words? Someone put it like this. A physician might say to you, your trouble is really obstinate. The poison is in your blood. It will take you a long time to eradicate all the trouble of your illness. But I don't tell that to discourage you. To make you careless. No, not to make you careless. I want you to be watchful. And I want you to make use of the remedy that is given. Do you hear that in these words? My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Don't be careless. I know it's a reality. I know that you sin at times. But don't despair when you have fallen into sin. When you fall into sin, no, don't despair. And then those tender words, my little children, never forget, never forget. It's the old Apostle John, toward the end of his life, writing this, who says, never forget. This is so important. We have an advocate with the Father. Children, when you go on a ferry and you see there you have life vests and lifeboats, they're there in case you need them. They are not there so that you say, well, I will ignore all danger and I get myself into danger. They are not there so for us in order to be eager to use them. No, they are there really when you need them. And so also here, we have an advocate in case you have sinned. We have a comforter. Jesus is that advocate. Now, maybe you realize, well, how is that different from Jesus being the high priest? Jesus is that high priest that makes intercession and can save us to the uttermost. Hebrews tells us. He makes intercession continually for us before the Father. And now it says here, there is this advocate. How is that different? Well, the high priest is there constantly making intercession. Without him, we would never be spiritually alive. He brings us together. He presents the blood continually before the Father so that we are accepted in him. But now John says something special. In those moments that you have fallen into sin, there is Jesus the advocate. Not only does he stand between you as the high priest, bringing the guilty party and the holy party together as the helper, but he's the advocate. That means the comforter. The word is paraclete. We know that. I will give you another comforter. That's the same word. Well, how is that different? The word really means I will come alongside of you. We have an advocate before the Father. I will come alongside of you. As you come into God's holy presence, I will come with you. A counselor. A loving friend on behalf of sinners. I will stand with you. And I will face the Lord on behalf of you. That's the idea here. We have an advocate. And his name is so precious, is it not? Jesus Christ. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Christ, he is that anointed one by the Father. He is the righteous. He never ever sinned. He's perfect, obedient Son of God. And he is righteous. His Father delights in him. And if he comes with us, alongside of us, into the presence of the Lord delights to listen to the voice of his Son. He is the righteous one. God delights to do everything the Son asks from him. And it is as if John says here, come. Come with me. Poor sinner, I will take you by the hand. Confess your sins, but remember, this is so precious. There's an advocate. Come to the Father through him, not on your own. When you feel sin, when you are accused by the devil, when you feel you have fallen, come through him. And he will in no wise cast you out. God will hear you. God will forgive you. God will take up your cause. And Jesus will take up your cause and he will plead for your forgiveness right there and right then. Isn't that precious? He comes alongside as a good friend and a counselor, brings us into the presence of the Lord. And the Lord sees what he does. propitiation for our sins. It says he's the propitiation for... What does that mean? He turns the wrath of God away so that God can look upon us in favor and accept us. Because he knows, he's just, he's faithful. I'm appeased. I can speak peace because of my son. He's the propitiation for our sins. Maybe there's someone here who says, well, yeah, Pastor, I hear that. Of course, John. We don't doubt about John. And I don't doubt about those believers who know it by the grace of God. But what about me? Not for me. Well, then you need to listen very well to this verse, what it says. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Doesn't mean that that everyone in the end will be saved. But what does it mean? He's the only Savior. And his blood is of infinite power. That whosoever comes tonight, drawn to him, drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's more than enough power to take away all the wrath of God over your sin. Even if the whole world would come to him tonight. Here is a sufficient Savior. You will find that there is power to forgive you too. The whole world, it says. That's how infinitely powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. It can turn the wrath of God away. When he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And so come to him tonight. Come to him. Here's an advocate for you. For you too. Struggler. For you. And he can come alongside as a good friend. And bring you into the presence of the Father. Isn't that glorious? We're going to close. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we see something of the forgiveness that God, for Jesus' sake, turns away all the wrath that I have deserved, all of it, and takes every sin and lays it upon his son, and we come, as it were, confessing, laying our hand upon the head of that Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that transforms our lives. That does it. If we have tasted from such forgiveness, glorious forgiveness, then we want to extend such forgiveness to others, don't we? And that's how John puts it in chapter 4. Here in his love, listen well, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. And the next verse is this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Do you see how these things are bound together? John does it. Jesus does it. Such amazing forgiveness. If you can, by the grace of God, come tonight and see it afresh, and taste that the Lord has forgiven you. Such wonderful forgiveness. Such complete forgiveness. Of all your sins. Of all unrighteousness. Such powerful forgiveness. Through the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to have it spilled over in your life? To sinners all around you. Show them the love of Jesus. That you have tasted. One more thing. As we pray this petition, we can bind it together to what? to the first three petitions. Bind it back. Lord, forgive me, so that thy name would be set apart, hallowed, and thy glory would spread. Do it for thy own glory, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, so that my relationships, in my relationship, the kingdom of Jesus Christ comes. Forgive me, Lord, so that I am so changed that I begin to do more and more the will of my Heavenly Father and love my neighbors as myself, because I have been freely forgiven. Do you see it? It's all for His glory. Come. Look to the advocate and find forgiveness. Amen.